You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Beyond Top Chef podcast. My name is Haley Strong. I am here today, not with the usual crew. Everyone has ditched me today, but that's fine. I get an excellent opportunity to talk to one of my favorite podcasters here on the Wrap Up Network. Huyo, what's up?
Hey, Haley, thanks for having me. You know, when I got the call up to talk about food, I thought, you made the right choice. I'm ready to talk. I'm a hungry boy and I'm always ready to talk more food. So, and I'm excited to talk to you again. It's been a minute since Too Hot to Handle. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I revel in any opportunity that I get to talk to you. I think you're so fun and interesting. And yeah, the only time I think we have podcasted together was on that Too Hot to Handle podcast. If that is something you're interested in, you can find it in the archives. It was great. We all had a great time. But you don't watch Top Chef, right?
I don't. My only experience with cooking shows is actually Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. What is it about that draws you in?
It's the Gordon Ramsay of it all, to be honest. But it was the one cooking show that was available to us back in Dubai. Me and my sister both got really into it. And we pretty much watched most of it. And then I fell off when I moved. And then she moved to Ottawa like 2-3 years after. And to this day, every time I went over to her place, we would watch Hell's Kitchen in an attempt to catch up with the show that kept passing us. So we'd watch 3 episodes, a whole season would premiere. We'd watch 3 more episodes of the old season, another season's out. So that's been the relationship with it now. But it was a big part of me and my sister bonding. It was that and The Amazing Race, which were the two shows available to us at the time.
My brother and I also have some bonding TV shows, but he doesn't really get into the food ones. So, you know, he was the one who got me back into Survivor and Big Brother and everything. So I completely understand having TV bring your family together. We are a very TV-centric family. So you said you grew up in Dubai.
I did.
Talk to me about the food there.
All right. Well, you know, born and raised in Dubai, Dubai is kind of like a melting pot of humanity. There's like my graduating class, there was 60 of us, and there was about 40 different nationalities. Like there's people from all over the world there. And it's different. It definitely hits different. I can say this because in the last 9 years that I've been in Canada, it's definitely been a different vibe. It's a more rice centric diet. There's more rice. Like we had rice in our table every day. And to preface this, my parents were both Iranian. They're both Persian. So that's Persian cuisine that we're having is rice centric. But then also Middle Eastern, United Arab Emirates food, Middle Eastern food is all rice centric too. So it's a lot of rice. You got your chicken, obviously no pork in that side of the world. So mostly chicken, sometimes lamb. And then if you're having a sandwich, it's a shawarma there most likely. But then I'm not even going to act like that's all we had, because Dubai, more than Canada, Haley, had every single American fast food franchise you would want, or fast casual dining. So we had Chili's, we had Applebee's, we had all like the McDonald's, Domino's, everything. So I didn't move being like, oh, this is all new to me. I moved being an expert in all the fast food stuff already.
What was your favorite fast food place to go to while you're in Dubai?
Ooh, okay. So I've not had it since I moved, but TGI Fridays had this burger, okay? And it had, you know, your regular stars on a burger. You had your beef patty, your lettuce, your tomato, a little bit of caramelized onion in there. But this one went beyond. And this is, mind you, this is during the time where I was like, I'm just eating what are calories. It was a double patty, a beef bacon. And then there was this cheese patty in the middle. And by that, I mean, it was literally like fried cheese that was like thin enough that you, it was playful, but it was like a mozzarella stick that was patty form.
Oh, that sounds excellent.
So good. So, so good. I still dream about this burger from time to time.
I need to know more about beef bacon.
Yeah, beef bacon is definitely, from my experience, it is harder chewing wise. It doesn't have the playfulness of regular bacon. It doesn't have the easily bite off or the crispy bite off. It's definitely a heavier bite and a more chewy bite.
Interesting. Okay. I have truly never heard of beef bacon. I never even considered it. That's interesting. I would like to try that. I think, was there any foods in these fast food restaurants that would have ended up on like a BuzzFeed list of like craziest things that McDonald's has around the world?
Maybe because the McDonald's in the Middle East, we had a chicken Big Mac. That's not crazy. That's just awesome.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was incredible. And then they had what's called a Macarabia, and it was pretty much a pita based sandwich, but it wasn't pita. It kind of just looked like a cross between flatbread and pita, but it was basically like a side wrap and it wasn't like different meat. It was like putting two patties in a wrap with like other stuff, which I guess now is not that crazy given that they do the breakfast wrap and like, you know, there's other stuff that they're doing. But at the time, that was the one thing we had that no one else had.
That also sounds delicious. And then you moved to Canada for school. Is that correct?
That's right.
And you lived in Ottawa your whole time in Canada?
Yeah. So I moved September of 2011, and I was in Ottawa until March of 2020.
What drew you specifically to Ottawa?
So I would like to say that, oh, it was the infrastructure or the architecture. No, I applied to 5 schools. I wanted U of T, obviously. U of T was like, nope, not with those grades. And then it was Ryerson or Carleton, and I ultimately decided I have one of two ways to go. Either I go to Toronto, I go to Ryerson, which wasn't even my top pick, and I know people that have moved there and I get comfortable and I don't push myself outside my comfort zone. Or I go to Ottawa, which I don't know anyone there. Now it's my city and I get to, like, I force myself to be social. I force myself to like be put in a new situation. So I went with Ottawa instead for that reason.
That's so cool. Yeah. And Ottawa just has a different vibe than Toronto, too. It's obviously a smaller city while still being a fairly big city. So you get everything you need, but there's just a different charm to Ottawa than Toronto. And maybe just because I live pretty close to Toronto, I've been there a million times and it just doesn't really do it for me anymore, I think maybe is the case. So where Ottawa, I always get really excited to go to Ottawa. When you came to Canada, what was the one thing you couldn't wait to try?
So, my dad's not listening to this, so it will be okay. But it was bacon. I fully got invested in the Epic Mealtime YouTube rabbit hole of it all that summer. So coming in, I was like, I need to try this bacon. Especially this is at the time where bacon was like the most overexposed that had been. It got a rebranding. Now there's all this bacon merchandise all over the place with the bacon like. Taste cubes and like the bacon flavored this and that. I wanted to try bacon. So I landed and my flight to get to Ottawa was about 24 hours with the layovers and the two flights that were each like 7 hours. It was a trip. So I got to the hotel at like midnight. I slept. I woke up at 7:30 before my orientation, went for the free breakfast, and it was buffet style. And I love me a buffet. And I opened the bacon tray and I was like the first one down there and the bacon was full. And I was like, you know what? I'm sad. I just said goodbye to my parents. I don't know when I'm going to see them next. I don't know anybody here. I'm going to treat myself. I got a plate full of bacon and I regretted none of it. It was delicious. It was awesome. I didn't know. So here's the thing, though. I didn't know poutine was a thing till like 2 months in. And then when I had that, to this day, my favorite thing, easily my favorite thing. Okay, if you ask me, what do you miss about Canada? There's three things. And my sister is third on that list because poutine is number one.
What's number two?
Number two is actually, you know what? She's number two. Number three is like my work friends. Number two is my sister. Yeah. But poutine's number one. And I'm sure she wouldn't be offended by that.
Yeah. I feel like in the States, I feel like maybe in Canada and the United States, poutine is the national dish of Canada. But outside of that, I don't know if people really know what poutine is or understand the concept. Because when you grow up around something, you don't really understand, like, oh, why is this such a big deal in other places? Yeah. It's just fries with gravy and cheese. But what's really special, I think, is the cheese curds. And maybe those just aren't as prevalent in other places. I know they exist in the States because I have gotten some Wisconsin cheese curds on a road trip before at one of the roadside stands in New York State. I know that for sure.
Yeah, I had never heard. I'm not going to assume that there wasn't any awareness or any available, but I had never heard of cheese curds until I saw it on a poutine. I was like, what is that? And I had them like, oh, okay, this is an interesting texture. And then it just tasted delicious. So I've not stopped since. And I know that that's the real way to have it. The proper way is cheese curds, gravy, fries. But I've also had it with not cheese curds, with like cheese, regular cheese. And I still enjoy it. I am aware that it's not the same and it's not the authentic experience, but I also like food and I'll just eat it anyways. So I don't discriminate on my poutines, even though that might be insane to say.
I don't think I would either. I obviously much prefer it with a cheese curd.
Absolutely.
And poutine is something that within the last 2 years I've come to appreciate more. I think in the past I've had it like once a year and like I'm good, but lately I have just really been into it. And I'd say at least, you know, every 3 or 4 weeks I'm getting a poutine from one of the local fry trucks. There's one down the street from me that makes a really excellent pulled pork poutine.
Oh my God.
They smoke it on site and they put it right on top and it's delicious. Yeah. Do you like your poutine with accoutrements or do you prefer it just like straight up?
Like OG is the way to go for me, but literally the one option that I will go above and beyond for is the pulled pork because I love pulled pork is something I've come to love late in the game because my introduction to pork was that morning getting that plate of bacon. And then after that, I didn't really think about it. I didn't really think, you know, what else have I not tried? Pulled pork was like mind boggling to me. And to this day, one of my favorites, one of my go-tos if it's available. But typically I'll go for the regular poutine, but then I don't mind doing the pulled pork thing. I know Smokes Poutinery had like a bunch of different types. And I gotta say, for some reason, I can have a double-decker burger with like a cheese patty and beef bacon and all that, but I just couldn't do extra stuff on the poutine. I felt like it took away from it. But while I'm ranting right now, there was a poutine place that did a buffalo chicken one.
Oh, yes. I love buffalo chicken poutines.
Yeah.
And Harvey's has them now. And I love them. They're so good. That is, yeah. I'd say pulled pork and buffalo chicken are the only two odd poutines I'm willing to get. I guess they're not even odd. But yeah, like I agree with you. Once you start adding a lot of extra stuff, I think it does take away. I also don't always love super rich foods, and I find that poutine is rich on its own. And when you start adding all these things, it takes it a little over the top for me. It's not that I don't love gravy, it's that I like gravy. I never order it as a side for my fries at a restaurant. When, you know, on a Thanksgiving dinner, I have it in a little side dish so I can dip my turkey into it. I don't have to I don't smother my whole plate in gravy. That's just not really my vibe. So I think that was my thing with poutines for a long time. I will ask a lot of places to go light on the gravy for a poutine because I like when the fries stay crisp and crunchy rather than get all soggy. And I know that's probably sacrilegious too. A lot of people just want it to be gravy soup with some potatoes in it.
No, I mean, I'm not mad at your take, Haley, because I would rather have my gravy on the side than thrown on top of my plate with the stuff in it. I would prefer to go at my own pace. So I'm with you on that. I'm with you on the crispy fries. I think the other thing with having all the stuff, all the fixings on a poutine is that the fries are supposed to be the superstar. And when you load it up like that, everything else is on top. So for you to dig to get to the fries, by the time you get there, the fries could have gone cold or a little stale. That's what you don't want. So the fries are going to need to be on top, if anything. And that then it's not a poutine anymore. So it changes it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Is there any other foods from Canada that you miss, or any of our like hyper particular fast food establishments that you crave?
That's a thinker, because I think that outside of and please let me know if you can think of anything that I am not thinking of. I'm thinking of Beaver Tails as the other thing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And like I am the worst. I like the Nutella one. That's my pick. Is if I can go with the Nutella one, I'll go with that. When Liana was visiting me last year, we went out for dinner with my mom, who was visiting, and my sister and her boyfriend. And then we stopped at the Beaver Tail stand, and she wanted a banana one with Nutella. And I was like, I hate you, but I'll go for it. I'll eat it. And then, because here's the thing, Haley, she bought it.
Yeah.
And then she had two bites and was like, I'm good. And I'm like, well, now I have to sit, eat, shame this one that I didn't even want.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Beaver Tails is the one I can think of, but I can't think of, can you remind me of any other Canadian foods that I might be overlooking?
I'm trying to think, because Canadian cuisine is such an eclectic mix of everything and, you know, all of the people who have come here. So it's hard to really think of anything that's so uniquely Canadian without... you know, we can get into Indigenous foods, which I am not an expert, so I don't want to say anything about those and get it wrong. If there's anybody out there who's listening who is an expert in Canadian Indigenous food, I would love to hear about that. So hit me up. I feel like poutine and Beaver Tails, those are really like the two things that you think of when you think of Canada.
Yeah.
Because even like what Americans call Canadian bacon, we don't call it that. We call it female bacon.
Female bacon. Yeah. And the misconception that it's just ham is just, come on. Like, come on. It's not just ham.
No, it's rolled in cornmeal. That's why it's female bacon, I think.
Exactly. Yeah, I guess like, so I looked up a list, and there's not much on here that I liked or had to begin with, but butter tarts are Canadian. I know that.
No, I don't love butter tarts. I find them too sweet.
Same.
There's a place in Niagara, 13th Street Winery. They're supposed to have the best butter tarts in all of Canada. And they're good, but I just find them so sweet. So I like the ones actually with bacon on it, because I find the saltiness of the bacon tones down the sweetness just a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's not something I ever really go for.
Yeah, no, I'm very simplistic when it comes to my sweets. If you give me a slice of cheesecake, I'm happy. If it's a chocolate cookie, I'm happy. But like, I don't really deviate outside of like the chocolate based sweets. So I typically don't go for them. The other thing on this list is Montreal style bagels, which obviously I worked at a bagel shop for 6 years in Ottawa before I moved. So I'm still not at a place 4 months away to say that I miss them. I'm sure at some point I will, but I'm still okay with the relationship I have with them right now.
This is one of my biggest food hot takes, and I don't even truly fully understand it.
Oh, please.
I don't really like bagels.
Thank you. Can you explain why? Because I'm having a feeling we're going to be on the same page here.
I just find them a little dense for my liking. I don't know. They're not my favorite thing. If I want bread, like I just like a piece of bread, or like, I don't know. I had a really great piece of focaccia this morning. I'm into that, but I just find bagels too dense and too heavy. And then a lot of times they're slathered in cream cheese, which I like cream cheese, but not like, I like a little bit. I like just a quick smear. I don't want it like caked on. I don't really even love toast. So when you have a toasted bagel and I don't love a burnt flavor. So if it gets even a little bit past what I like, then I'm out. And I don't know. Just I wish I liked bagels. I don't want people to be hurt that I don't like bagels. I don't want people to make fun of me for the way I say bagels. But I they're just not my thing.
Yeah, for me, bagels, bread, like they're all, for me, I use them for, sandwiches, cream, little cream cheese, maybe some peanut butter. The fact that there's, and I know this is a bagel, that's why I don't like when there's a hole in the middle of my bread or bagel and I'm eating a sandwich because I know every bite is going to have stuff fall right over. The one place I do like a bagel more than anything else is when lox and cream cheese are involved. So your smoked salmon, your cream cheese, your tomato, good time. But even then, I'm like, if you told me that this has to go on a piece of bread instead, I would maybe even prefer it. So, and like, I don't like any food that is divisive. I don't like people, you know what? New York style is better. Screw Montreal style. No, Montreal style is better. I don't need a war in the bagel world. Like, let's just all be like, we like the food. Like, that's it, really. So I'm not a fan of the conflict that bagel brings as well to the table.
I agree. I don't love food conflict. We had a pizza party here on the podcast a couple weeks ago, and I know that can be super divisive. And a lot of people commented on the thread saying, like, I don't even know if I can listen to this because I'm very passionate about my opinions about pizza. And sure, I'm passionate about my opinions about pizza, but it's so personal. And whatever makes me happy is good because I'm eating it and that's what matters. I can't tell people that they're not allowed to have olives on pizza because I don't like olives on pizza. Sure, if we are ordering one pizza, maybe we need to figure out a middle ground. But I'm not going to tell them they're dumb and stupid because they like olives on their pizza. It's a personal preference. Who cares? Like, if you're not eating that person's food, like, why are you getting upset about it? And I feel the same about the bagels, too. It's like, yeah, if you enjoy a New York style bagel, like, power to you. But if you don't want it, then live your life. Don't have a bagel.
Yeah. And that's the thing for me is that I'm a very non-picky eater. Like, I don't really, I almost eat everything. I don't know
what is,
why.
What is one food you won't eat?
Oh, let's see. Damn. I'll get back to you on that because I think there's at least one item on that list. But for the most part, I have no problem eating all the things. But I can't think of it right now. You know, I really can't think of it right now. For me, that has been probably why I'm so like peace with the food. Cause I know everyone's going to have their own opinions on stuff. I know people are going to have opinions strongly. Like, you know, the whole like pineapple on a pizza, yay or nay, is probably one of the biggest internet conversations that I see on a daily, you know, like on a Twitter post here, or it's been made to a meme. I don't know who needs to hear this : but pineapple does go on a pizza. Do you, boo? And then the comments are like, you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. You've never been to New York. It's like, guys, everyone has different preferences. I'm sure there's people that have ketchup with their pizza. And that is insane to me. But I also respect them for doing what they want to do. So things happen. Things happen.
I derailed you and I don't remember what we were talking about.
Let's see. So we talked about the pizza preferences, the divisiveness of bagels, Canada. We're talking about Canadian foods.
So you've just moved to the States in March. So I'm assuming you haven't had a really great opportunity to explore the food scene of where you are right now because of the pandemic shutting everything down. Have you had the opportunity to get some takeout from places around you? Is there any places that Liana really loves that you kind of had to go along with?
Yeah, like, so definitely with the pandemic, I have still yet to really explore where I'm at. Like, we've been out a handful of times, and even then, I haven't seen all that much. I'm very well versed with going to the grocery store now because that's one of my things to do. But as far as takeout goes, we do indulge in the weekly fun food, as Liana calls it. And we have an Indian food place we order from. We have a Thai place we order from. Typically, after a night of drinking or anytime I've played Sequester, we get the Crab Rangoon order the next day.
Ooh, yeah. That sounds good.
Learning about Crab Rangoons here has been amazing. I was like, wait. this is all the things I like. So give me it. And oh my God, you know what? I remembered why my sister was number three on that list, Haley.
Okay.
It wasn't work people. The work people aren't on the list. It was all you can eat sushi.
Is that not a thing in the States, or you just mean like just right now you can't all you can eat sushi?
I mean, right now we can't, but Liana's been telling me that it's not really a thing in this region. She told me that when she lived in California, it was a thing there, but she said it's not really that prevalent because every time she would visit, we would do at least one all you can eat sushi go.
Yeah.
So I do miss that. And the reason that came up is because I thought of crab and I thought of cream cheese. Because she hates the Philadelphia roll and I like it. So sorry.
It is kind of a basic roll, but I do love it. Yeah. So moving in with a partner, did you find that you had to adapt to a new food style or like bring two cooking styles together or two even like grocery shopping styles?
Definitely. This has been one of the biggest changes in moving in with a partner because Liana is very, very much regimented. She has the way she needs things to go. She basically knows what works for her to keep her like health up and keep everything like on the up and up because she's had it before where she hasn't had that. And then the structure falls. So she keeps it very much tight, but then also I'm now in charge of all of that stuff. So I have to do things that she wanted to do because again, I'm not picky. So I don't mind. I don't mind like taking over Liana's job and like doing it Liana style and not my style. So Liana says this phrase that I do not like hearing at this point. What is it, Pearl? Or sorry, my cat. Very
I heard her.
Yeah. So Liana says she wants lean protein, carbs and fruits and veggies, and veggies, and the veggies have to be the bigger portion. So lean meats, carbs, veggies, and this is fine. But then I've realized that, oh, I'm making mistakes as we go. So she'll be like, I want this recipe is good. You can do this one. I'm like, okay, sounds good. I put the recipe together, Haley. And then she'll be like, there's not enough veggies in this. I'm like, well, I followed the recipe. She's like, oh, I triple the veggies on the recipe. I'm like, well, I didn't know that. So yeah. Definitely more veggies now than before. Definitely. When I was living on my own, I didn't really care all that much about the food anyway. So I was like, oh, I'll just fire up, make this chicken. I'll put some zucchini in the oven. All right, I'm good. I have some bread. Okay, I'm fine. My life's set. But now it's like with meal prepping, because especially when she needs to go to work, I need to have that stuff ready. So it's been different where there's more vegetarian options now in the mix. There's more veggie centric stuff in the mix. Whereas before, veggies were like, if I'm not having them, it's an issue. But if I have even a bare minimum, it's good enough. So
that's kind of my outlook with veggies too, is that like, hey, they're there, go me. And I'm trying to be better about including more vegetables, because when my parents were cooking, like they, you know, the way my parents grew up, they didn't always have like an excess of anything. And so they ate what was there, which was often meat and a starch. And if you're lucky, a vegetable, if you're lucky. My mom loves vegetables and she tries to include them, but vegetables aren't like my favorite thing. I'm trying to get more into them. But I kind of get lost with ideas sometimes about making things exciting. And that's one thing that kind of also scares me about meal prep is making one thing for an entire week and then just eating that every day. Do you find yourself doing that, or do you need to change it up more? Or what's your deal with that?
So personally, I tried doing the meal prep thing in Ottawa, and I quickly realized this isn't for me. And it's because of the repetitiveness, but also I find myself not enjoying a meal if I'm going to reheat it as much. So what we've been doing this past week, because Liana's, trying out a new, diet and I'm trying my own, I don't want to do the same one. So Liana's stuff is prepped. But then I am doing my stuff daily. Like I'm like, okay, so I'm eating the same thing. I'm eating the chicken, but I'm going to make it stovetop, and then I'm going to throw it in between a piece of whole wheat bread, some lettuce, some tomato, and then a little bit of a sauce mix that I'm putting together, making it a little spicy because Liana can't handle that. And then it works. That works for me. But I like having the open option of changing stuff up, changing a couple ingredients the next day or doing a different vegetable the next day. I like mixing it up. Whereas I think Liana is more comfortable with, well, I know what I'm going to eat. This can all be accounted for and I can log them all in and it's all fine. And I do agree that I think I need to, having moved in, I'm definitely eating healthier, which I think is a big, big plus because while at the start it was a bit of a struggle because like I think I was having a little bit more fun and playing fast and loose with my restrictions. Mm-hmm. Learning this lifestyle has definitely been helpful because also it is, you know, I never understood the whole like cheat meal, but it really does make that fun takeout meal 10 times better.
So it makes so much more sense why you guys call it like a fun meal.
Yeah.
It's time for our mid-podcast snack break. In the meantime, listen to a word from our sponsors.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Remember. Yeah, I found when I've been with Ethan for almost 6 years now, and we've mm-hmm. been living together for almost two. And when we moved in together, it was, I feel like we both came from similar food backgrounds, but we both really enjoy food and trying new things. So I found that we were getting takeout a lot, or we decide the day of what we were having for dinner that night. And, mm-hmm. you know, Ethan would pick it up from the store or I would, or because of one of my jobs or a couple of my jobs, I'm not always home at dinner time. So mm-hmm. he'd often be responsible for the dinner. And it's just kind of like when he came home from work, what does he feel like even making? So one thing that we've been able to do during the pandemic actually is because we're trying to limit how much we're going out and going to the grocery store, we'd grocery shop for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. And to be able to do that effectively, we'd have to look at the flyers and see what's on sale so we could buy in bulk. And we'd have to not necessarily meal plan, but figure out what we'll be eating for the next week and have like dinners. And are we going to make enough of that dinner to have it for lunch the next day? Or, you know, is like, I always get soup from a local soup place on Tuesday. So we would build that in. So I think that's a skill that we've been able to build during this time that I hope continues, which is just being able to figure out in advance what we're having. It makes it so much easier because at the end of the day, you don't want to think about, like, you've just been thinking for 8 hours straight. You don't want to have to think about what you're having for dinner. And that's what we'd usually be like, screw it. Let's just get a sub or let's just get takeout from this place. And so I'm proud of us for figuring this out finally. I feel like it's such a dumb thing to have taken us so long, but we're there. And so I'm happy that we're doing what we're doing for that.
Yeah, no, I resonate with that because I think before I moved, I definitely, going to the grocery store was a little bit like, all right, I'm buying these things. There was no purpose to them. There was no, like, I'm not following a recipe. I'm not like, okay, I'm getting this for this purpose. I was like, yeah, I could eat some onions. I think I'll do that. I'll take this. Oh, I'll grab a couple peppers because you never know when you're going to need them. I did operate under the utility vegetable rule, which to me is...
That's us. We always buy peppers. We always buy onions. We always buy mushrooms because no matter what, we could chop them up and put them together and have a great time.
Exactly. And then Liana kept giving me like crap for it because she's like, well, what is this for? I was like, whatever you want it to be. Like, that's available for everything. And she didn't understand that. But then the more I've been here, I'm like, oh, it totally makes sense to just get the stuff that I know are going to be used for A, B, C, and D. So it's like, now I know if I'm getting these peppers, I know exactly where they're going, and that's working out better. But also because Liana, so with the new thing Liana's doing, she's giving me a list of stuff she wants for her foods. So that's helped, because I'm like, okay, so now I know that anything else I get is not going to be used by her. So yeah. Now I have a better handle of, so if I get like three peppers, I know that I'm in charge of getting rid of the three peppers by eating them.
Yes. So
it's been interesting.
Yeah, that's so funny. I never thought about the utility vegetable, because we always do that.
Yeah.
We always go, well, we'll use them for something. And like, we don't always know what we'll use them for. But, you know, I like to fry them up and put them in a pasta or like quesadilla, or, you know, I feel like those three vegetables we could use in anything and be happy about it.
Absolutely. I love all three. I did the last tier list I did on my Twitch stream was with Liana talking vegetables, and onion took number one spot. So
I'm so glad you're transitioning to this, because I do want to talk about your Twitch channel and what you're doing over there. I love onions. I think they're so versatile, and I like foods that are really versatile and that I can do anything with. So I think that's why I do love those utility vegetables, because I can just put them in anything. I like meats where I can change it up, and like, you know, I'm not always the craziest about chicken, but I do like that with chicken, I can blacken it, I can chop it up and make a stir fry, I can, you know, bread it and have a great time. You know, there's a lot of different things I can do with it. Yeah, tell me about your Twitch channel. I want to hear all about this. And this is because of your Twitch channel. That was one of the reasons I really wanted to have you on this podcast and talk about food.
Yeah. So my idea with getting my Twitch channel going was, I found myself, I've been given a big platform to talk about reality TV, and it's been amazing, and I would not trade it for the world. And I'm so happy I get to do it still. But I found myself wanting an avenue to talk about the dumb stuff that I have heavy opinions on, or like the stuff that I want to like just think about in a critical yet joking way. And then I really like the idea of doing a tier list and just picking a topic and making it, tiering it up, like deciding what's the best of it, what's the worst of it, and so on. And it just so happened that I had a feeling, and it has ended up this way, where food is predominantly one of the biggest things that you can do a tier list with that is universally like approved, because we all eat. We all have had at least a subset of the foods that are going to be talked about. So we all have opinions on them. So if we're like talking about, say, best Will Smith movies, you might have seen like one, or you're like, oh, I don't like Will Smith, therefore I'm not going to know about this. But food has been great. And so what I do on there is every week I have a guest, they come in. They get to pick whatever topic they want to tier list. And then they send me a list of the stuff they have in there. I add a couple things to their list so that I add my options. And then I send it back and we just go back and forth. We nominate the next item. We tier it. We decide where it goes. I've gone all over the map. I've had Kirsten McInnes on. We talked about fries/potatoes. So that was a thing we did. And then Ali Lasher was with me and we talked about chocolates. Mike Bloom did 90 snacks. So, and then Liana did vegetables. So it has been a very fun journey of just finding out that I have more opinions on food than I maybe even knew before.
Yeah. And, you know, and it gives you an opportunity to think about food in a way that you don't really tend to. Like, I guess everyone kind of has those internal personal rankings. When you're at the grocery store, you go, yeah, I'm gonna grab that, I love that, I always like to have that around. But putting it in concrete list is interesting, because then I feel like you could even use those to build more meals around. You'd be like, oh, I really love potatoes done this way, well, why don't I add that in more? Why don't I always put a ton of cheese on potatoes, because I know I love that.
No, it reminded me, doing some of these lists have reminded me to start using and like using different ingredients or bringing new things in. So when we did the potato one, I had a very strong and positive reaction to the potato wedges, and I put them in the top tier. I believe we called the Spudtacular tier. So the next week I made, I wrapped fish in aluminum foil with lemon juice, a little bit of garlic, a little bit of seasoning. And then I made potato wedges on the side and they went perfectly together. And it was a great time. It's like, why haven't I been wedging at all? Typically with the potatoes, I've just been doing baked potato because you throw it in the oven, you walk away, or, you know, making little slices up, making it into home fries. But wedges are a different breed. And I was really happy that they came back to my memory through the tears.
And you made your own wedges?
Oh, yeah.
I never even, like, and that's another thing. I just, like, never even considered making my own wedges. Same. Because those are, for me, they're either I get them at a restaurant or I get them out of my freezer.
Yeah, no, and, like, that's the thing is that I was like, well, we have, like, these three potatoes that are sitting here from the utility potatoes I bought last month. And they've just been sitting there. I was like, let me see. So I looked up, and the other thing with moving in with Liana is that I'm definitely looking up more recipes than I did before. I used to be more of a freestyler in the kitchen. I was like, oh, this works. I'll throw this in there. Liana likes retelling the story where I was making a crock pot meal, and I threw in an eggplant because I do like eggplant in meals. It's delicious. And I threw it in, and it disintegrated because, like, it doesn't. It's not like going to stay solid. It was gone. And she's like, well, that's because it's not a vegetable for the crock pot. I didn't know that. Now I know more. With wedges, it was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. It even took less time to make than baked potato would, which I wouldn't have expected. So it was like 25, 30 minutes and I had wedges. It was incredible.
I'm going to have to try that. Yeah. Yeah, I always go for like almost like what you get in hash brown, not in a hash brown, but like in a hash, like the little small potatoes. Mm-hmm. Or honestly, I do baked potato and I do it in the microwave because I'm lazy. I'm impatient. I'm lazy. I'm like, I don't want to wait 45 minutes for this potato when I can put it in the microwave for 8 and it's done.
It's been hard, Haley, because I think now with it's the summer heat here, it's warm. Our AC unit's in the bedroom, not in the living room. And I stream from the living room. I do podcasts from the living room. I'm here right now. And like, it's a living room kitchen combo. So when I cook now, if I use the oven, it is just a sauna in here. And I have to have the fan next to me, like by my side. And I'm the only one that's feeling cool. The rest of the room is a hot mess. So the transition from trying to not use the stove and oven and trying to make more meals via crock pot or more cold dishes has been interesting for me, because I never would have really, crock pots are a different story, but I never would have thought about doing more cold dishes. Like, I learned how to do these, this chickpea dish that Liana likes that I've ended up loving. And today she made like this morning I woke up to her making her meal for the week. She made this like black bean salad. And I was like, I would have never thought this is enough. Like this, I make this and this is the meal for the week. So it's been fun to learn about that. I think my favorite crock pot creation during this time in quarantine is I found and mastered this baked beans recipe. So that's been a lot of fun.
Okay, you're going to have to send me that.
I definitely will, because it's delicious. And it's like there's so much of it, but it's the one meal I can say that I'm pulling out of a Tupperware that I don't get bored of. And then I did attempt to make ribs in the crock pot, which turned real nice. Some bits ended up a little too dry, but for the most part, it was very nice. So
that sounds delicious. We're actually having ribs for lunch. I'm really excited about we're picking it up from like a barbecue pop-up in town. So I'm excited for that. I also love using the crock pot. I always think of the crock pot as like a winter tool. That's so smart that you're using it so much more in the summer, because it really doesn't like give off a lot of heat in the kitchen. I love to make buffalo chicken in it. I just put in a bunch of chicken breast, and you can use thighs if that's what you prefer, with a bunch of franks, a little bit of butter, and some, I just have veg stock on hand all the time. So I'll throw a little of that in there and then, you know, let it go for a couple hours. And then I can use it for so many different things. So I can throw that on a salad and have a great time, or I can put it in a breakfast hash, or we like to make buffalo wing dip sometimes for dinner, just to throw it with some cream cheese and Greek yogurt. And it's so good. So I'm going to have to start using the crock pot more as the summer one. What other cold prep meals you got?
So I haven't really been making this, but I do not mind tuna salad. Tuna salad's good. I basically, if you tell me that I can slap something in between two pieces of bread, I don't hate it, and I'll do it. So a tuna salad's good. I recently, not to go away from the cold meals for a sec, but I was recently taught about the tuna melt and how I am mistaken for not liking a tuna melt. Liana was like, listen, it's good. You are out of your mind. I put out a tweet. Most people were with me and they said it's not. And then she was like, let me make you them tonight. I was like, okay. So we had a tuna melt dinner and I loved it. It was delicious. I don't know why. I think it was the combination of like hot tuna and cheese that wasn't hitting with me.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. It sounds gross even in description, but it worked, Haley. Like this was, the recipe was, it was one rib of celery chopped, one onion chopped, and then you got your tuna, you got a little bit of mayo, you got a little bit of lemon juice, mix all that in, butter your bread like you're going to make a grilled cheese, slap the stuff in the middle, and then add the cheese, add tomato, close, flip, flip, boom. And it was just so good. So
I've never had a tuna melt because they kind of freak me out a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I don't like chicken salad. So like a tuna salad, I feel like I also wouldn't totally love. And and Ethan doesn't eat seafood. He doesn't. He's started to get into fish and chips, but that's about as far as I can get him for right now. I really don't think I could sell him on a tuna melt. And it's not something I would order at a restaurant either, because when I'm going to a restaurant, I want something that like I know I'm gonna love, and I just can't guarantee I'm gonna love a tuna melt. So maybe maybe when all of this is over, I can come see you guys and Liana can make me her famous tuna melt.
Yeah, I mean, that would be fun. That would be an event to see. I would end up recording that reaction just in case it's a good golden, like, you don't like it, I want that in the archives.
I feel like I wouldn't hate it. I just, it makes me nervous.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would never. So I'm not a risky orderer either, which is a good or bad thing, depending. I like, when I go to a restaurant, I open a menu up, I'm more likely to pick something that I know I'm going to like than to be like, this could be good, because I don't want to get something and then be like, oh, I don't like this, but now I've it was like 8 Mile. I had one shot to order a thing off the menu and I missed it, so I avoid doing that. But I wanted to bring it up. So when I go to a pub, for some reason I convince myself that I'm making the healthy choice when I order the fish and chips, because I'm like, hey, I'm not having a burger, I'm not having wings, like, I'm having fish and chips, and that it's fish is good for you, but realistically it's fries and fried fish, and it's delicious, and
it's
love
like
it, but
it's like the brownest meal possible.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, it's being healthy. It's really not.
No. Yeah, I do love fish and chips. I can't help it. I love food that's bad for me. Like, I always gravitate towards food that is not traditionally good for you. When you know you're going to a restaurant, do you look up the menu beforehand, or do you leave it for a surprise when you get to the restaurant?
I have gotten into the habit of looking it up beforehand, because when me and Liana would do our trips, she would typically, there were a couple of times where she came to Ottawa, but for the most part, we would go to Montreal because it's about 2 hours less of a drive for her, which already she was doing a 6 hour drive without that. So it was helping that side. And then also for me, it was like I'm going on vacation too. I'm leaving for a couple of days. I don't mind that. So I was in charge of, I wanted to plan stuff out. So the Airbnb was always me. I would always fine tune it, find the one I liked, find the one that was good. Liana's like, I don't care. I'm like, I care. And then
that's Ethan. Yeah. I don't usually care as long as, you know, I don't have to share a bathroom. Ethan is very particular and he loves looking up the Airbnbs.
It's fun. I do enjoy it. I do enjoy it because, like, it's not like looking at rentals for like an apartment, because I know I can just get this and this is fine. It's for a trip. It's not like a year long commitment. So I was in charge of the restaurant. So I would definitely look the menus up in advance for two reasons, just to see what the budget's looking like for one. But then the second one was the items and like what's available. And are there safe options in the sense that, is there something that if the menu is weirding me out, but I like everything else I've seen about the restaurant, is there like an old reliable that I can look at and be like, oh, I could definitely just get away with ordering that and I'll be fine with the evening. So I have become a menu lurker and not a menu surprise person. What about you, though?
One of our favorite hobbies is looking up menus to restaurants. Like, we love looking at menus, thinking about what we're going to get. I like knowing my options when I go to a place, but it's hard sometimes because the menu doesn't always reflect what's actually going to be on the menu there. Sometimes mm-hmm. they'll be you'll walk in and they'll be like, oh, that was spring's menu. We're on summer now. And it's like, oh no, I had my heart set on this one thing. but we tend not to just go, yeah, let's just go to this restaurant. We're like, okay, these are our options for tonight. Let's look at the menus and what are we both kind of feeling like? And then we'll go to that place. So it really helps us even decide where we're going.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of one of those things where every now and then it could be a fun thing of like, hey, let's just not look at it and go and see what's going on. But for the most part, I think I would like to know what I'm signing up for. It's not like the TikTok trend where a couple goes to Walmart and they just put their hand in the bargain bin and whatever movie comes out, that's what they're watching. Like, I don't want to do that with my food because I'm not picky, but also, if I'm going out, I want the food to hit the spot. I don't want it to be like, oh, this was a missed opportunity. I could have had this amazing pulled pork concoction, but instead I went with the shrimp pasta and the shrimp's not really all that here because I didn't read up on it or I didn't look at the menu and then some of the reviews. So,
and I don't like to be surprised by the price. Like, I don't want to, like on a night out when we're, I don't know, I just don't like to go out and be like, oh, this is a lot more than I was expecting to spend. So I'm going to get the cheapest thing and then not be super happy about it.
Yeah. I like the mental prep is important because it's like, I might have the means for the big night out anyways, but it's definitely going to make me more conscious of what I'm getting now. And that will be a mental block that will prevent me from getting what I would have wanted on that menu otherwise. So it's definitely a thing. I saw this thing yesterday. So I saw this trend. I don't remember where I heard it on like another podcast, I think, but there's this trend going on YouTube now where in the pandemic, friends and specifically other YouTubers are doing this thing where they're ordering food for each other over on Uber Eats or something and not telling the other person. And then they're each going to have a meal together, but they don't know what they're getting because they're being ordered for by the other person. That intrigues me immensely, though. Even though I'm like talking about wanting to know what's on the menu, I would love a surprise meal because it's a good test of friendship. And it's a good test of whether or not that friend wants to just have a good laugh because they could easily screw you over or it would show that they know what you like.
Yeah, that does sound like fun, but I would only do it in the promise that you don't screw me over and that you're actually like want me to have a good meal because I would never do that to somebody. I'm not a pranker person. Like if you want me to send you a nice meal, I'm going to send you something that I think you'll like and that maybe you won't always go for, but I think you'll enjoy. And so I'd be really disappointed if I put all of that work and effort and money into sending somebody a meal and then they sent me like 7 packs of chicken nuggets.
Yeah. What's it called? I definitely am a prank person, not in the traditional sense of like, oh, you're going to fall. I'm going to laugh. I just like roasting people really is what I like. But in a situation like that with food, especially when other people's money is involved, I'm not going to try and like pull a hijinks. Then it's just hurtful. Cause like, oh, the door opens or like the order's here. I go to pick it up and I unpack it and it's this delicious meal done with me in mind. And then what did I do? I found a store on Uber Eats that does groceries and I bought them like 3 cans of beans. Like that's sad. That's you don't want that. I am intrigued though by the experiment.
I do love that idea. That is very interesting.
Are you big on to, so for me, I didn't watch Top Chef. I haven't watched Top Chef. Mm-hmm. It was Hell's Kitchen, but then Epic Mealtime when I was a youngin, because I didn't know better. And then honestly, I don't know if you do. Have you watched BuzzFeed's Taste It? Or the what's not Taste It, what's it called?
Like the Tasty videos?
Not the Tasty videos, the ones where they, it's Andrew and Steven and they go around and they try 3 different foods at three foods at 3 different price points. 3 restaurants.
I've heard of it. I haven't watched it yet. Okay. I'll check it out for sure. Cause I do love consuming food media. I find it very like peaceful and relaxing and I do enjoy it. So I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, I do enjoy that. I also enjoy Binging with Babish is great. And honestly, like, I fell into the TikTok rabbit hole for the memes. And then food TikTok is what's kept me there. Food TikTok is incredible as well. It really is.
I'm going to see. And TikTok is something that I have not downloaded. Mm-hmm. I leave it to my friends to send me the TikToks that they think I'll like.
Yeah.
And they usually do a great job. So.
Yeah, and there's a lot, because like I think with TikToks, the nature of the app is you open the app and you're immediately in the content and you're scrolling up. And there is a lot of waffle in the middle, because even though the more you use it, the more it figures out what you're liking. So it keeps giving you that content more. There still ends up being filler in the middle that I don't need to see and that I'm not there for. But I've definitely noticed in the last like month, I'm getting way more food TikToks than I was before. And it's because I'm seeing recipes, I'm seeing stuff, and I'm like, oh, I would like to try that. Like, all right, this one looks good. Yes. So I would definitely, I can send you, I'll be your food TikTok correspondent. I don't want you to download the app and go through the stuff yourself. I'll help you out.
I would love nothing more than that. Just to get like a nice stream of food TikToks. That sounds wonderful. So we usually close out the show about talking about what we've been making this week. So, Booyah, what have you been making this week?
So this week, like I said, Liana has started doing a new diet. So she wanted 3 pounds of chicken breasts, amongst other things. I ended up getting 6 pounds because it was on sale. So what I've been doing is I've been slicing up the chicken breasts and, you know, just stovetop, easy peasy, throwing in some veggies with it. Having that, it's been good. And then on the off days, I've been doing that with just bread and eating that. And then we had a social distancing barbecue last week. So we had a bunch of hamburger patties that were just sitting out, not sitting out, but like a leftover. Mm-hmm. So on the very ambitious days, on the days where I was streaming and podcasting on those days, I ended up having a bigger sandwich and I did a lettuce, tomato, caramelized onions that I made, the chicken breast, the burger, with a sauce that I made combined with hot sauce, Thousand Island sauce, and a little bit of mustard. Mix those joints up, put that on the sandwich, and it was amazing.
So you're putting chicken and hamburger on a sandwich.
That was a hard day. I needed all the meals in one. So I had that.
That
and I
is great.
Yeah, that was my meal for the day.
Yeah, we made burgers, but we were lazy this week. Like you said, it's hot. We didn't want to do anything. I've just been having a week where I just like haven't mentally been able to get myself to want to do anything, literally nothing. I just like, I haven't been doing my home tasks. I didn't want to cook. I didn't want to do anything. So we had some freezer burgers, but what we did was we grilled up some mushrooms with it and with some mozzarella cheese and some barbecue sauce. So it just kind of had like a barbecue mushroom burger, which I thought was really tasty. And then last weekend on Sunday, Ethan was out for the day with his friends. And I was kind of just staring at the wall being like, what should I do? And I was like, I should make some cookies. And I went to Bulk Barn a couple of weeks ago and just like went crazy. And I did the thing where it was just like, I don't know what I'm going to use this for, but I need it. So I bought mini M&Ms and I was like, I'm going to make some M&M cookies. So I just used a normal chocolate chip recipe that was in The Joy of Cooking. That is my favorite cookbook. I use it all the time. I talk about it on the podcast. It has like truly anything you could want to make in it. It has it. So I just used The Joy of Cooking chocolate chip cookie recipe, and it calls for a full cup of chocolate chips. I did half a cup of chocolate chips and half a cup of M&Ms, and I made them smaller than I usually make a cookie. So I think I ended up with 30 of them. I didn't eat them all. I did spread them. I spread the wealth, but they were really good, and I was happy with how they turned out. And I would definitely make that recipe again.
I like that. I want to make brownies. That's the thing I've been craving. So I want to get some brownies going. I want to ask you one other thing.
Sure.
Do you have, or are you thinking of, or have you been told to invest in an air fryer?
Yeah, I have. We haven't yet. I have an Instant Pot and I've used it twice to make mashed potatoes both times. And it was great mashed potatoes, but I'm a little afraid of it. So I do have some cookbooks. I really just need to like concentrate and make a meal with it. But an air fryer we haven't got. Ethan's family had one and they said they never used it. And it was a very small little area that you can do the air frying in, so that if you were making chicken wings, it would take you an hour to fry all the chicken wings because the little basket was so small. But I think we've come a long way since then. I would like to try one, but I'm just not really willing to invest in one yet.
Yeah, like I don't have one. I bought an Instant Pot off Amazon during during around Thanksgiving last year, and it was on sale. So I was like, yes. And then I was like, you know what? I'm not going to open it because I know I'm going to move soon and I'm just going to take it with me and we'll open it together. We'll have it here. But then the pandemic hit.
Oh, yeah, no.
And I couldn't drive back with my side to fly over with like a suitcase. So it's still in Ottawa. It's still in its packaging. So I can't wait for that eventually. But I did see that the Instant Pot brand, now they have a lid that is an air fryer lid. So you just buy the lid and it doubles up as an air fryer.
Okay, so then I think that's probably what I need to do then.
Yeah, I think that's the move. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I've learned in the last like month and a half that air fryer just seems like it does everything I would want it to do to my food and make it better. So, and given that we're both talking about how we would rather be lazy about it because it is hot and we don't want all this like stuff heating up the space, I feel like that's the way to go.
I'm going to look into that. I think that would be the perfect like fix for wanting an air fryer, but like not really wanting to buy another machine. Cause like we are lucky we have a house, but we still don't have like a ton of storage for all of these big kitchen gadgets. And God, we love ourselves a kitchen gadget.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's been the thing here. The good thing about me not coming in with my stuff is that the kitchen is already full. Especially because we've added more stuff since I've already been here. So if I brought the Instant Pot and my mugs, which were the one kitchen item I was not willing to let go of, was my collection of mugs. If I brought those, we would not have the room for it at this apartment. We do intend on moving at some point, so maybe the next place will have more room. We'll see.
That is really funny. Ethan was not willing to part with his collection of mugs. He has been collecting mugs for a long time, and they're not mugs he uses. They're all like mugs he's gotten while he's gone on trips or I've gotten for him. So the solution, he wanted to build a shelf around our living room and put all of the mugs on that. And I said, not a chance in hell. That's going to be so dusty. So what the compromise was to get a glass case.
Oh my God.
So he has all of his mugs in that. And then they don't get dusty and we're both happy.
Yeah. I like a mug trophy case. I love that.
Yeah. I'll take a picture when we finish up and I'll send it to you.
Well, please do. Because yeah. So for me, the mugs are part of the nostalgia. They're still like, because growing up, I was that guy that wore the dumb t-shirts with the funny sayings on them that weren't funny, that you convinced yourself were good. That was me. I feel like the mugs are the only avenue where I can get away with having that stuff on there. But even then, I don't have many of those, but there is nostalgia with my mugs. And then when I was moving, I didn't have room for the mugs. I brought one mug over with me, and it's this mug that last time I went to Iran to visit was like 2014, so 6 years ago. And on our last day, some of the cousins gave me and my sister Dina gifts. And one of them, for whatever reason, thought this was necessary, gave me a mug with a picture of me and Dina when we were kids on it, when we're like three or four. I was like, this shouldn't be in storage. I am going to take this with me because like she's my sister, but I mean, it's in the back of the cupboard. So I don't like, I'm not willing to part ways with it, but I'm also not going to.
It's not your daily mug.
Yeah, no, it's not my daily mug. My daily mug is no longer a thing. I've been, because I bought a Contigo bottle for my coffee for work. And I never used it for work because, and I'm quoting myself, my workplace is disgusting and it's going to get greasy and I don't want that. So now I've realized this stores more coffee than a mug would. So I've just been using that at home. Otherwise, when I moved, Liana did buy me a nice big red mug, which I could use for coffee. And then she also bought me a mug that was in my welcome home package that she prepared for me when I got here. And that mug, Haley, has a picture of Justin Trudeau riding a unicorn with a rainbow on the side that says Canada is magical. So
that is amazing.
Yeah. So I've got that to remember home.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Well, Puya, this has been wonderful. I had such a great time.
This was fun. This was the most relaxed I've been on a podcast in a minute. So thank you for having me.
I'm not into the stress. And I'm sure if you're talking about Big Brother, that's some high interest content. So people tend to be more particular about what you're putting out for that than what we do around here.
Yeah, this was fun. Just getting to talk about, and I didn't really think about it until we started talking, but the food has been one of the things that's probably been impacted the most with my move, but it's not been, and I do talk about food stuff on my stream, but I haven't really talked about the ups and downs of the food regimen and all that. So this was very fun for me. Thank you for having me.
Good. I'm so glad. Where can people find you on the internet?
So you can find me on all major social media platforms, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram. Puyaism is where you would go for that. I do stream 3 times a week, and one of them is always a tier list where we talk food. And Haley, you have an open invite if you would like to come on and pick a topic and we can tear that up.
I would love to. That sounds like so much fun. I can't wait to do it. You actually inspired me to join Twitch. So you can check out my Twitch. I think my username is just Haley Strong. Before you were doing it, I never really thought to use Twitch as a food platform. I always just looked at it as a gaming platform.
Yeah.
So what I think I might do is when I'm cooking, I'll stream that and we can cook together and I can cook with people.
Yeah, I love that. I've definitely watched some cooking streams. Setting that up and then just doing your thing and then interacting with the audience. I feel like that not only do people want that, not only will people interact and are intrigued by what you're making, and then you can get to a point where the audience can decide what you're gonna make next. And also, the other thing is, I feel like it'll make cooking go by quicker. It'll make it more fun. So now it's no longer like, I don't want to sit around waiting for this baked potato for 45 minutes. Like, I have time to chill. Let's chill while the baked potato is being done. So exactly. It's a win-win.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to start doing that hopefully soon. I just have to, rev myself up to do it. Other than that, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @astrong_, and you can check out my blog, strongtakes.ca. Check us back out next week. We will have a full panel. Can't wait for that. If you're interested in Bachelor, Bachelorette content, we had Bryce Isaiah, who's also on the Rehab Up Network, on with Amy and I to talk about the cast of The Bachelorette. And he did an Issa look with us, and that was a lot of fun. So check that out. Even if you don't even watch The Bachelor or Bachelorette, you just love Bryce. It's a really fun podcast. So until then, you can pack your knives and go. Bye.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.